and of the year. And I see, I think we can say that the mechanism which we set up in 2002 for partnership and cooperation has really shown the, or proved the test of time, and has proved itself rather efficient, a very solid system of relationships have actually dealt with a whole lot of threats which we face, terrorism, crisis regulation, proliferation of WMD and its means of delivery, the problems of TMD, SAR, search and rescue at sea, cooperation in military reform, which has been intensified very considerably. My colleague, Mrs. Gudelina, has taken part in that here recently. And a lot of new threats also have been addressed. I think that one of the most important elements in all this has been the NRC, and I think this confirms many of the ideas which have been put forward recently, particularly at the recent Nice conference in March of this year. I think that the signing of the Status of Forces Agreement, the SOFA, was very important in this respect. I think the fact that Russia has actually joined that allows us to make sure that the quantity and quality of events is enhanced, and particularly technical issues such as transit and visa support. And then, of course, what we are talking also about is the enhancement of interoperability of our troops. I think that you must be aware that today we, all our ministers together, endorsed the politico-military directives on enhancing interoperability between Russia and NATO. This document, without any doubt, I think, is going to promote the further strengthening of NATO-Russia relations. And there is also, of course, the action plan of the NRC for fighting terrorism that we are working on very intensively. But of course, it is premature at the moment to talk about the potential of the Council as one of the most influential international institutes. The situation in the Balkans is still alarming. We can hardly talk about full stabilization. And of course, the events in Uzbekistan are also very alarming too. According to our information, these were inspired from Afghanistan, and it is precisely in this country that routine planning of such events was taking place, that is to say, the enactment of terrorist acts, perpetration of terrorist acts on other territories. The disorder in Andijan deserves, of course, investigation, particularly with regard to the overall threat of terrorism in the region as a whole. I'd just like to say that according to our information, 50 citizens of other countries other than Uzbekistan were actually involved in this uprising amongst those who were captured or detained. I should just like to stress that we are also concerned by this, but in contrast to others, we do not intend to condemn anybody, accuse anybody. We are not going to come to any hasty conclusions about what happened, and we certainly don't want to put any kind of exceptional or extraordinary pressure on anybody. Now, one of the proposals which we heard today from the Russian delegation is to develop and enhance interoperability, as I already said, and we are proposing that political-military agreement should be worked on with regard to terrorism. I think it's very important that we should do our utmost to extend the geography of the area involved, and also to make sure that the armed forces are properly prepared and trained for these challenges. And you can only do that by one method, that is to say routine and planned, scheduled training, both in Russia and in alliance countries. Russia signing and ratifying, by the way, the SOFA agreement will allow us to do that much more efficiently and earlier. We hope very much that we will manage to make this cooperation between Russia and NATO much more efficient in the interests of world stability and security.
Sergei Borisovich, сегодня...
Sergei Borisovich, today the German delegate said that at the NRC he was going to talk about the stationing of bases in that country. How do you look at it? Well, obviously, for obvious reasons, I wasn't present at that meeting, because obviously Russia is not a member of the Council, is not a member of NATO, and essentially this is a question of U.S.-German bilateral relations, so I don't think it would be appropriate for me to comment on it. I can just say one thing, and that is that from my personal point of view, the presence or the stationing of tactical nuclear weapons in Europe in the conditions of circumstances which pertain as of today would be senseless, to my view. Sergei Borisovich, you have shed light essentially on the Russian view of the events in Uzbekistan, as far as I can understand. They are shared by your partners in NATO. Can you tell us how far your views actually coincide, your views and that of the Russian government? Well, they partially coincide. You see, here it's not so much a question of facts. Nobody wants to contradict them, and nobody has any intention of doing so, but it's really a question of political assessment. If we, without going right to the bottom of things, use force or military strength and so on, this is one thing, but if we look at things objectively, really, then I think that we will all realize that in this whole event, lots of people lost their lives, and a military stockpile was plundered, and the major part of it, we don't know where it ended up, we don't know which country it's in even, and we are certainly not in the business of coming to hasty conclusions about them. There's another point as well. It is without any doubt, I think, it's not in doubt, that these events are certainly concerned with very serious economic problems which prevail in this independent sovereign state, which is Uzbekistan. But separating one from the other is necessary, realizing full well that the extremists and fundamentalists and so on are actually using these circumstances in order to perpetrate these acts.
Дмитрий Хавин, НТВ. Когда вы сегодня говорили об этом иностранном следе внежанских событий, который пришел...
When you said that the threat actually came from Afghanistan, did you just explain that to NATO, or did you actually complain about it, given the fact that NATO has troops in Afghanistan? And what do you think about the fact that the Secretary General of NATO has just now said he doesn't know anything about that? Well, thank you very much. As far as Afghanistan is concerned, I didn't say anything new, and any member of NATO, any member of would say that certainly there are threats coming from Afghanistan.
For example, the Islamic movement, they are present there. Nobody is negating that. So in this respect, in my judgment, I haven't said anything new, anything fresh. And the fact that upon the territory of Afghanistan, it's essential to pursue further activities, including those force-related options in terms of search and detection of such activities, that's something which is completely incontestable within the framework of the NATO-Russia Council. That's the Latvian newspaper. I would like to make some precisions. Are you taking any interest? Are you keen on developing, on following up on the initiative to... I can't exactly remember the Russian designation. That's the Airspace Initiative. Okay, that's the airspace initiative. If and when the Baltic countries are not exactly keen on cooperation or on sharing some of the data with this initiative to the Russian side, if they believe that that's their concern, that they do not want to relate, to transmit their data to the Russian side, could you please probably clarify what exactly is this whole initiative is all about? Probably the Baltic countries are just over-exaggerating all of this, overstating all of this. I can't know the position taken by the Baltic countries' leadership. As for the initiative itself, it has appeared actually quite recently. That's the initiative which relates to the coordination. I'd like to stress this fact, not, of course, the unification, reconciliation of the systems for air traffic control and airspace control systems. That's something which relates above all to more efficient counterterrorism, including that related to civilian aircraft and civilian aviation. That's the notion, the idea, which is, I'm sorry, if not in the rudimentary state, embryonic state, then it's in the initial stage of elaboration. There are no concrete outlines or technical decisions or political decisions, not to mention that who is going to relay what to whom. You have said that the Baltic countries, for a number of reasons, can actually, well, the reasons which are your own sovereign reasons, and nobody is actually putting that to doubt. They would not probably want to relate some technical data to us. I do not also rule out that Russia will not want to relay anything to anyone at some stage later on, but so far we do not have any subject for the definition. Who is going to relay what to whom and under what conditions? I am from the Bulgarian newspaper called Labour. Mr. Minister, Your Excellency, what's your comments as regards the intentions pursued by the United States to redeploy parts of their bases from Georgia to Bulgaria and Romania? Thank you. It's a bit strange that you ask me all the time about the bilateral relations, either the American, German, or American Bulgarian, Uzbek, and Kyrgyz relations, bilateral relations as they are. That's your own problem in your backyard. And what's important for Russia is just one sole thing, that the reconfiguration, realignment, as it's termed by the military, would not lead down to some nefarious, negative implications for the security of third-party countries, as far as I understand. Not being a military expert, but still I understand that full well. Due to the expanded scope of terrorism in the Middle East region or in the wider, greater Middle East region, there is an apparent need for the creation of new light or soft bases, airstrips, airdromes in the first place. I would say even transshipment points, for prompt deployment of these or that sort of forces into that region. So, in this light, that's quite a substantiated question, well-based question. if it's something which relates to something different, then they might appear, they might emerge, and they do probably emerge even more serious issues with Bulgaria, among other parties. Спасибо, господин министр. Вопрос New York Times. В вашем заявлении вы сказали о важности учений и подготовки союзниками.
The recent Torgau exercise with American...
И Торгау учение, которое недавно было проведено. Вы думали об этом, когда вы смотрите на те страны, с которыми военные России могли бы подготовку проводить? Какой баланс между подготовкой союзниками от западной стороны от вас и с другими союзниками? Спасибо, например, на юго-востоке, на северо-востоке, например, с Китаем. The Torgau exercise. No doubt. Both the United States Ground Forces staff and the general staff of the Russian Armed Forces, the Russian Ground Forces have already completed a full assessment of the exercise taking place. There's no doubt on each of the sides that this exercise has yielded a big effect, positive effect in terms of interoperability, specifically in terms of lessons learned by the junior command officers as regards to the military equipment as part of the inventories of each other. You might know that the first stage of this exercise took place upon the Russian territory where the military from the United States would fire from Russian artillery systems, would guide Russian, drive Russian tanks, and among other things, they would also pursue defense collectively. And further on in Bavaria, upon the territory of the U.S. military testing ground, it was quite the other way around. The Russian servicemen would sit into the cabins of the U.S. armor equipment. They would drive it, they would handle it, they would practice that, and I seen that, and all of the participants there to see the practical benefit about that. Each of the sides, both the Americans and the Russians, I can assure you, have seen both the foibles, the weaknesses, and the strengths of the equipment as boasted by the each other's equipment, both in terms of its maneuverability, in terms of its driving capacity, in terms of its repairs capacity, repairs being fit for repairs, in terms of its employment upon the theater of operations. There's no doubt quite a lot of benefit about that. Now the second portion of your question, which relates to the balance of exercises as pursued by Russia, I mean international relations apart from the Russian own domestic exercise. We should not forget about that. There's no doubt that the most important thing for us is our own training. There is a certain mix here, a certain balance, and I will not conceal this fact from you. It relates to the geographic location of the Russian Federation, geographic position of Russia, which I would like to remind you is spanning 10 time zones, and that's why we are planning on military exercises both with single states, in the first place, NATO member states, of course. Chiefly, those are the principal leading NATO member states. I should not probably be hypocritical, but because of the interoperability issues, the aircraft maneuvers can only be undertaken with those states which have, which possess their roughly comparable military assets and power. That's why military exercises are undertaken by us, are held by us here in Europe. To put it simple, with the United States, above all, with Germany, with France, and with Italy. We are also intent on pursuing these those practices also ahead, further afield, and we have concrete plans for that already mapped out. As for the Asiatic region, the chief partners of ours, including in terms of joint combat training, India and China, both in India and China, the units of our armed forces this year will hold combat training exercises with the armed forces of those states I have mentioned. And the third priority, which should never be forgotten, that's the implementation of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. There are some military and political allies in front of whom we bear the stringent obligations, and within those obligations and the decisions, resolutions taken by the Defense Ministers Council of the Organization on Security and Collective Security, we regularly hold joint combat exercises. This year we have already held a rather massive, scale exercise upon the Tajik-Afghan border directly on the territory of Tajikistan, 10 kilometers away from the borderline. I think you might probably guess what are the reasons behind that, why exactly there the exercise was held.
You discussed today cooperation NATO-Russia in the Balkans. Can you tell what is the position of Russia having in mind beginning of preparatives for the review of standards and possibly the negotiations on the future status of Kosovo? Thank you.
Well, you know, today the Balkans issue was a bit concisely discussed. I have to say that straightforward was a bit superficial in terms of discussions. All of this relates to the fact that it has repeatedly been discussed before and nothing new has actually surfaced in relation to this. As you might well know, Russia adheres to the Resolution 1244, UN Security Council resolution, which redefines the territorial integrity of Serbia and Montenegro. We see the complex developments which take place in Kosovo, and of our own volition, we, a number of years ago, terminated our military presence down in Kosovo because we do not see any sense in the further stay of the Russian military troops down there. Back then, and now I would like to reconfirm that, I believe that it was the absolutely correct decision. Any further political developments will actually shape and show what will take place down there. Of course, it will take even more and more years, and I think it's still a long way to travel before we arrive at some kind of settlement. So, thank you. Thanks a lot, too. All the luck, too.